What's up, everybody? This is your host, SB Sanchez, and we are back for the second episode of the Mentally Entangled podcast. Today's episode is definitely near and dear to me because I will be interviewing the head woman soccer coach from my college alum. As some of you already know, I did play college soccer at the University of Montevallo in Alabama. I played from the years of 2018 to 2022, Falcon footy forever. So it's definitely an honor to reconnect with a coach that has had such a huge impact on the woman that I am today and definitely the athlete that I was during that time. So without further ado, let's go ahead and get mentally entangled with Jake Wyman. Jake has been a college coach for 16 years now. This fall will be his 15th season. He has been the head coach at Montevallo since 2019, but before that, he was the assistant for 3 years. I guess he is kind of good at what he does because in that time alone, he's had a chance to win the conference championship ring back in 2019. And that same year, he was named the Gulf South Conference Coach of the Year. Since he's been at Montevallo, he's taken his girls to the GSC Championship Tournament every year except for one. So before jumping into a handful of questions that I have for you, Jake, go ahead and say hello. Give the people a rundown on what your journey has looked like so far within the coaching space and how the heck you came to be the amazing coach that you are today.
Thank you. Thank you for that great introduction. And I'm happy to be here. Appreciate you having me on. And, you know, I started coaching, I think in spring of 2008, I was still in college. I was at Coker, and the head coach there at the time, Robert Lane, was the head coach for the men's program there. And he asked if I wanted to volunteer my spring of my senior year. And I said, what the heck? And that's kind of where I started getting my feet wet in coaching. Mm-hmm. And then I graduated and got a job with an asphalt company, and I never thought I'd be coaching. And then a few months later, I got a phone call from the guy that recruited me out of high school and asked me if I wanted to go back to school and be his student assistant. So that's kind of where I started my journey. And 15 years later, I'm here at Montevallo as the head coach, and with another pit stop in Clarksville, Tennessee, Austin Peay. So I was there for 3 years. So it's been quite the journey, you know. And I fell in love with the profession at an early age when I first started coaching. I realized that it was more of a calling for me, and I loved it, and I loved to make an impact on people, and that's what I want to do. And so I started to pursue the coaching badges, the licenses, and so that's kind of where I started and how I got to where I'm at today.
Okay. That's why it's so important to keep track of our network. I think like a lot of younger people would benefit from hearing that. Once you make a connection, like that's not always the end of the connection once you guys depart ways. So that's really cool to hear that somebody from your past reached back out to make sure that they were giving you opportunities to continue to be successful, even way beyond, you know, the period of time that you guys were sharing a space. So okay, first question for you. This is a question that, you know, I plan on asking everybody as they go ahead and jump on the podcast with me. Go ahead and define what mental health means to you as a coach.
Yeah. I mean, mental health has become so prominent the last, I want to say 4 years. I think since COVID, I feel like mental health has taken a prominent role in society, and especially coaching. So for someone that works with elite young athletes, I believe the psychological and emotional well-being is as important as anything. So, you know, college athletics can be an intimidating environment. And I believe the athletes that are mentally prepared for that type of competitive environment thrive and do the best.
Okay. Is that something that you can see in a player like during recruiting season, or is that something that takes some time for you to be able to see in a player like once they've already reported to campus?
Yeah, I think, you know, we do try to, you know, learn as much about a person during the recruiting process. There's obviously certain things that you're not going to pick up on, but I think, you know, we want to get to know the family. We want to know the parents and what the kid is all about during the recruiting process. But it's definitely something that we're paying more attention to. Obviously, the longer you do something, the more keen you are to pick up on nuances and stuff. So during the recruiting process, I think it's definitely something you're paying attention to, but it's not, you know, 100%.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's definitely something you want to look at. And You definitely want to recruit kids that are mentally tough, and obviously good family backgrounds help, that's for sure.
Yeah. So when you use the word mentally tough, give me a little bit of a definition of what you mean by that.
Yeah. I mean, mental toughness to me comes from doing difficult things. You know, you go through hard times, that is going to shape you into a mentally tough person. So that's as easy a definition as I think you can have. You know, doing hard things makes you tougher. So, yeah. You know, that's really what it comes down to.
Yeah. I think, that's a term that a lot of people definitely, like, when they hear mental toughness, a lot of times that word goes directly to like the idea of an athlete, but kind of like you said, it's like doing tough things continuously, like always pushing that boundary as far as like your comfort zone. And it's something that you can grow up into as well.
Oh, for sure.
So like a freshman in college, they're going to be being introduced to new environments, and you know, their mental toughness when they come in might be at a 6. But by the time they're a senior, what you see a lot is like that mature grown up athlete. Now a situation that they were dealing with for the first time as a freshman, they've now dealt with a handful of times as a senior. They're like, oh, bet this is easy. Yeah, piece of cake.
Problem. Yeah. No problem.
So that I do think it's important that people understand kind of what that term means, because it's one that gets thrown around, but not always, I think, understood beyond just like an athletic aspect as well. So when you start the season, even postseason, what are some of the common mental challenges that you tend to see within your athletes?
I would say the first one we typically see is due to an athlete not being physically prepared for the season. So I think when kids have not put in the physical work, it tends to have a trickle down effect. So like you are not fit, so you're not getting the minutes, or you're not being featured the way you expected or the way you want. So your student athlete experience then is being affected. So you start, you know, missing home or missing your boyfriend back home. And I think it can have a spiral effect, because, you know, you come in having an expectation to play and feature, and if you're not physically ready, you know, you're going to be passed by people that have put in the work. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, physical fitness plays a huge role in our mental well-being. So, you know, some of the other challenges we see, I think, come, you know, from the explosion of social media and, you know, the search for instant gratification. I think that's a challenge we see with college age people these days, is like everyone, not everyone, but most everyone is on social media. Most everyone, you know, gets that feeling of gratification when they get, you know, above 100 likes or 200 likes or 1,000, you know, and it's like, how many people are sharing it, you know? And I think it takes a toll on people, not just young, but old people as well, you know, like different ages. And I think it's starting to trickle into even younger people. So I think that is a big challenge for, you know, mental health for college athletes. And you know, I think, you know, I mentioned earlier, homesickness, pressure of performance is another big one. You know, I mean, you know, you have athletes that are wanting to perform well because of the pressure from back home, because of the pressure from the coaching, because of the pressure from teammates. And I think, you know, pressure of performance is something that we see. And then also the relationships, your personal relationships, whether it's a boyfriend, a girlfriend, you know, a parent, you know, a coach. I think our relationships have a big effect, positive and negative, on our mental health, our well-being. So those are the ones that stick out to me, you know, as a college coach.
Okay, thank you for giving me a whole essay response. So let's go ahead and break it down. Give us a second. Sheesh. All right, start with, well, first of all, so your number one tip is just don't come in with a boyfriend to all female athletes.
No, I'm not saying that.
Okay. I'm not saying that. I'm just joking. But okay, so to break it down, you mentioned instant gratification. I think that is a big one.
Yeah.
Like, how do you learn to value yourself as an athlete if mom and dad aren't here cheering for you? Because we see, especially college ball, you're bringing in kids from all over the place, right? Yeah. And so, like, in my hometown, I was the GOAT. I was the top of the top, right? There's nobody else but me.
Yeah.
Then you come to a place where, oh, now everybody was the GOAT where they came from. Now there's a bunch of GOATs in one little place. And it's like, how do I find a way to still receive that validation? And so then it becomes, I feel like, more individual, right? Where it's like that player is having to do that for themselves.
Right.
There's not the people below them who praise them to do it for them. There's not mom and dad who are right around the corner or able to go to every game to do it for them. And as a coach too, you are not always going to be able to be there to be like, you're doing great, sweetie, right?
Yeah.
So what would you recommend? Let's say I'm a freshman. Well, I'm coming in as a freshman. So obviously it's reporting season. What can I start to do to prepare for that? Like, how do I prepare myself to be able to self-validate during season?
That's an incredible question, honestly. But, you know, the easy cliche answer is obviously self-belief, right? But I think the most important thing is what I would say is self-investment. So like putting in the work required, there's no avoiding that. So as an incoming freshman or any age, really, if you're willing to work on yourself on a daily basis, whether it's getting extra workout in the gym, spending a little extra time on the field after practice, or maybe you came in unfit and so you need to stay after practice to get a few extra runs in. You know, I think the self-investment piece is critical. And I think that ultimately leads to better performance and more self-confidence.
Yeah. I like what you hinted at. A term that I like to use is prepare and prevent, right?
Yeah.
So do whatever you can with the things you have control over to prepare and prevent. And I mean, that goes beyond athletics, but an athlete who comes in as a freshman and just tries to pretend like I'm just going to be the best right off the bat, that's never going to work. Versus an athlete that's a freshman who trains during the summer knowing that there's going to be people just as good as them when they get there.
Yeah.
That's a huge, I think that's going to make a huge difference.
And I think one thing you said there is like, you were the GOAT back in, you know, Camano Island, and then you get to Montevallo, someplace you probably never heard of before you got here.
Exactly.
And then there's a team full of quality players. And I think there's a, you know, and I'm speaking from a Division II standpoint. I think a lot of kids get here and they think, well, it's Division II.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, like, we're covering the country trying to find the best available players to come in here and help us win championships. And so I think that has a effect on kids when they get here. They're like, whoa, everyone's really good, you know, and that's our job as coaches, right? I mean, we're supposed to bring in
the best of the best.
Yeah. And we tell our players every single year, we always tell them, it's your job to prove there's not a better player out there. It's our job to recruit the best available players.
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that's a bit of a eye opener for incoming freshmen who are the GOATs back home, and they come in and they're like, man, everyone's good. So, and, you know, and that can play a role on the mental health too.
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the biggest challenges for me when I came in as a freshman is because I wasn't necessarily educated on how to self-validate myself. Then I came here, I was like, oh God, right? And I started realizing, you're right, everybody's at that same level. And so then I started comparing. But not comparing like my performance yesterday versus today. I was comparing my performance to Sab's performance, right?
Yeah.
So what is she doing that I'm not doing? But at the end of the day, we're not the same player.
Right.
And then I completely forgot about my own strengths. Why am I here in the first place, right? Because if I made it this far, I deserve to be here. But remembering that along the way is very hard.
Yeah.
And comparison was a huge killer for me.
Yeah.
Those first, it took, and I mean, you know, you watched me grow up. Like those two freshman, sophomore year, I couldn't get it down until I got it. And then when I got it, it was a lot easier to learn to take a backseat to my process, right?
Yeah.
So.
You know what they say about comparison?
What?
It's the thief of joy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't enjoy soccer either. I didn't enjoy it as much my freshman and sophomore year. Junior year, well, let's pretend COVID didn't happen. Junior year, senior year, my extra year,
yeah,
I had so much fun.
Yeah.
Because I could breathe.
You could tell. You could tell. I mean, just looking at it, you know. And I do want to give a shout out to Sabrina Amador.
Yeah. Yeah, she definitely was the first person, I think, that motivated me to be even better. Because, like, watching her perform and seeing the respect that she was getting from coaching staff, other people. So it's like, you know, and comparison has two sides to it. Yes, it can be the thief of joy, but also if you compare yourself to somebody that you know has reached a point in their athletic career that you haven't, that can also bring along drive.
Yeah.
While still remembering, though, that, like, I'm never going to be Sabrina. She can tackle somebody and knock the living breath out of them versus I like to attack other people and try to be on the other end as much as possible. If it was up to me, you know, I wouldn't spend too much side on the defensive side. So remembering too, like, yes, this is a person that I can look up to, but at the same time, like, I am still here for a reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I do want to say, you know, just PSA, SB was a baller as a freshman and sophomore. She was featuring in the conference championship in 2018. She actually scored in that game.
But they took my goal away.
Yeah, they took it back. But, you were still good. I think you were just kind of finding your feet.
100%. Yeah. And it was one of those things where I think the mental aspect, seriously. And I tell people, if I had, like, the education that I have now, yeah, like, as a therapist, that I, like, if I would have had this now back then, I think I would have probably been able to be a lot more successful, especially as an athlete, because it did take me a while to learn, like, the ins and outs of, like, how to keep my mind where it needed to be.
Yeah.
So, I did want to see what you do for your mental health. So I also want to talk about the coaching aspect of it. Okay. Yeah. Because you, like, to be honest, you guys go through hell. I've seen you. You start losing your hair. You stop shaving. You start smelling a little funky at practices.
There she is.
No, but seriously though, like, I want to take some time for that too, because players aren't the only ones that go through it, yeah, right? It is the college coaches as well. The pressure of winning, the pressure of recruiting a winning team.
Yeah.
So how do you go about managing the whole shebang when you are in, like, the heat of a season?
Yeah, I think coaching any sport, I believe it can be a super lonely profession. And obviously, you know, when the feeling of loneliness creeps in, right, I think it can lead to other intrusive thoughts and, you know, bad decision making. And, you know, being lonely is not good for, you know, your mental health.
Right.
But having solitude in your life is, in my opinion, good for your mental health. There's a difference. But, you know, I think I've grown as a coach over the last, especially over the last 5-6 years, as, you know, since I've been head coach. And, you know, time with my family is probably the thing that keeps me the most balanced. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my wife is always the person that keeps me on the most even keel. You know, my son brings me so much joy. You know, I didn't have that, you know, my first couple of years as head coach. He's only 2.5. And I think, you know, the time with my family keeps things obviously in perspective for me as a coach the most. Obviously, walking, exercise is big. You know, get your heart rate up a little bit. You know, do some reflecting. I think that's important. Whatever your go-to exercise is, you know, I know you like to push the heavy weights. I'm a walker.
Not so heavy nowadays, but, you know, something like that.
And then obviously in the off season, I like to spend my time fishing, you know, which is where I seek out that solitude. I think, you know, those are, you know, my three go-to things is, you know, a little exercise, a little time with family, and a little bit of fishing. Obviously there's not a lot of fishing happening this time of year, but
yeah. But basically I'm hearing you say, have your own stuff. Yeah. The thing with coaching or being involved with athletics is, like, that sport starts to swallow everything.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's like soccer is life. Soccer is everything. It's the way you breathe. It's the way you eat. It's everything. Even as a coach, it's like, if you're not talking about soccer, you're thinking about it. If you're not thinking about it, you're dreaming about it. If you're waking up from nightmares trying to figure out, like, are we going to be able to pull this off? You know, there's so much that it begins to engulf. Yeah. And I think it's important to be able to have those boundaries up for yourself where it's like
100%.
So having your own stuff, having some way of escaping, you know, the swallowing factor of whatever you are coaching can be extremely, extremely important. Now, your situation, there's a unique little aspect to it because you became a dad for the first time in the heat zone of college coaching. Because you had been, you'd been a head coach for three years. Yeah. And then.
So, in January of 2022, so we had finished our.
Spring season.
Yeah, we had finished 2019, 2020, and 2021. Finished. And we were headed into spring of 2022. Season, and you know, I probably wouldn't have survived that time period had it not been for Martin McGuire being my assistant coach and someone that I trust to just take on the program himself while, you know, we had a newborn at the house and being there for my wife and my kid during that time was critical. So that was, you know, that was clutch for us. So, obviously Martin's still on staff with us here and, but yeah, it was that was the first year of fatherhood. You know, had its own set of challenges while trying to run a college program. But
But the reason I wanted to bring that up is because just like athletes, then this goes for athletes and coaches because you know you have this sport that is essentially your career, right? Or for an athlete, I mean, as an athlete, that is your career during that time frame.
I agree,
but that doesn't mean that life stops. Right. Yeah. Life keeps going. Things are going to happen. Not every day is going to be full of sunshine and rainbows. And it's important that you are mentally prepared for, okay, hey, I'm going to be a dad. Now what? Right. So now what needs to happen? What needs to change? What do I need to implement now that maybe I haven't had to implement before in order to survive like this transition?
Yeah.
So, but yeah. And, something else that I wanted to go ahead and talk to you about as well is that prep work. Now, on the coaching side, there's the prep work, but there's also the prep work that you do with your athletes. So what is some of the prep work that you go ahead and embark with your athletes in order to ensure that they are ready to face like some of those mental challenges and life in general when they decide to come and play at the college level?
Yeah, I mean, we obviously send out a summer program, summer training program that, you know, lends itself to, you know, the physical demand, the physical volume that these kids should expect during the fall season. Mm-hmm. And I also think we meet with the individuals and being honest and transparent with them, you know, it's critical. We're honest about, you know, the road ahead, and how we need to be mentally tough to succeed. But you know, in all honesty, I think mental toughness and that type of prep work starts at home with, you know, the family. And I think, you know, I talked about this earlier before we started. It's just, you know, it starts at home with mom and dad way before they even get to, you know, playing college soccer. So I think a person's upbringing is critical and how they deal with the inevitable challenges, you know, that college soccer and life is going to bring. So I think, you know, how much prep work do we do? I mean, we're honest with kids, you know, we are transparent. And I also think, you know, through that honesty, they know that we care. That's probably, the most important thing in my opinion.
Making sure that they understand that, yes, there are expectations for the caliber of performance that they are expected to perform at, but at the same time, they do have a support system.
Oh, for sure. You know, I think, and I know it's cliche, but like, I think every kid in our program knows that myself, our staff, we care first and foremost, and that we have their back and that we're in this together. And I think that's critical, whether it's the weekly preparation or coaching, or if they're going through a personal crisis, they know they have a coaching staff that are going to be there for them and step up for them when they need it, especially the ones that don't have family close. You know, and, definitely. You know, I mean, I think we have two or three kids from the state of Alabama on the roster, you know, like most everyone's from somewhere else. So, yeah. I mean, I do think that is as important as anything, that they know we care. And, you know, I can't see myself coaching any other way. You know, I want my kids to know, I want my players to know that, you know, our staff has their back no matter what.
Yeah.
You know,
and that comes back to when you were hinting at relationships earlier on.
Right.
It's making sure that as a college athlete, you are going to succeed a lot more if you are participating in a program that has that support. Cause I do think that there does come many times throughout season, postseason, where you probably are going to be feeling pretty alone. Like, you're not going to know what to do. You're not going to know what needs to be done in order to get more minutes, or like how you're going to go about making sure that next season is better than the one before. And having a really good coach to go to that understands the mindset that can come with like the pressure and everything that else that comes with it.
Yeah.
Having a coach that understands that piece and being able to talk to you about it, I think that can go a really long way. So I definitely hope that a lot of college coaches get the opportunity to like hear you out on this and take time to make sure that they are developing those relationships with their players. Yeah. Like, give your players somebody to talk to, because sometimes, like, you know, not every kid's going to go straight to a therapist. That's just not,
right.
That's not realistic nowadays. Right. Not yet, you know? So like, a lot of times I'm going to come to you first, and then I expect you to be able to figure it out either for me or help me figure it out or give me a resource.
Yeah.
Right.
Or even just some advice,
mm-hmm.
you know, or some advising, you know, so I just, yeah. you know.
I think in a way coaching is similar to mentorship, right? Where it's like, yes, this is a person that is like a boss, but at the same time too, this is also somebody that's there for guidance along
yeah.
the way.
Yeah. And I always want to be a coach that's approachable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want our players to say, you know what, I don't know what to do in this situation, but you know, let me go talk to Jake.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be unapproachable. Our open door policy is legitimate here.
Yeah.
Know, we want people to be able to come in and say, hey, I got this going on back home. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I might say, hey, I know we're in the middle of the season, but let's get you on a flight and get you back home. You know,
right.
let's get you back home. You know, I mean, family yeah. first. So, yeah. I mean,
being able to give your players what it is that they need in order to maintain like that mental health as well.
Yeah.
Even like I said, when you're in like the heat of a season.
Yeah.
Right. So, injuries. This is definitely one that I wanted to hit on, with you, because injuries are something that I think will kill an athlete's mental health. If they prepared, you know, all summer, all spring to play in a really important game, and then they receive an injury that's going to put them on that bench for majority of that tournament, that is something that definitely is very mentally painful for a lot of athletes. So as a coach, what would you recommend is most important for an athlete to do, I guess, immediately after they acquire an injury?
Ooh, well, physical injuries for elite athletes are, like you said, huge, huge blows, because
yeah.
they've spent so much time getting to where they are physically and mentally, and now all of a sudden everything's been taken away because of an injury, and their outlooks can change in the blink of an eye. And I think that, you know, they can become defeated when they realize they have to start from the very beginning again. That's a terrible feeling.
Yeah.
That you've worked so hard and so long only to now be at square one.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think the athletes that are some of the most resilient people on, you know, athletes are some of the most resilient people on the planet, but injuries basically knock them back, right? And so I think if I had to give advice, I'd say, you know, trust that everything's going to be all right, you know,
yeah.
and that it is going to be a long road. It is going to be a physically daunting task to get back to where you were, but it's going to be all right. And I think, you know, like having that faith that, you know, like things are going to be okay, you know, like divine providence.
Yeah.
You know, like things happen for a reason.
Right.
And it's hard to explain that to an athlete, like, hey, you broke your arm for a reason.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
I'm going to look at you and be like, please shut up. Yeah, okay. Yeah. My arm hurts. I can't do this right now.
The timing of that conversation is important too.
As a coach, for sure. Right. Yeah. So,
but I do think faith is important when athletes suffer setbacks like injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, just the blue collar outlook that, like, you know what, I'm gonna work through this,
yeah.
You know, and like, and knowing that all that work is going to be difficult, but I can do it. I've done it before. I can do it again. You know, I'm gonna set my mind to it and I'm gonna make it happen. So I think the most important thing for injuries that cause athletes to have a setback is mindset.
Yeah.
Mindset is everything.
Yeah. How they view their perception on the injury itself. Yeah. I think something I see is when an athlete gets injured, that becomes their sole focus is the injury at hand,
yeah.
You know, and with an injury there, you know, you lose control because you don't have control anymore over your ability to perform.
Right.
Because the injury itself is like, nope, you can't do that. Not right now. Right.
Yeah.
But there are still things that you can control, and bringing back trusting the process, your PT is probably going to tell you something, right? They're going to be like, okay, this is what we need to be doing every single day, twice a day, three times a day.
Yeah.
If you want to be healthy again.
Yeah.
Some athletes will get injured, focus only on the injury and be way too pissed to even focus on recovery.
Yeah.
Right. But if you are able to step back a little bit and realize that, like, there are still things that you can control, even when the situation is super, super bad, that perception of the injury itself, I feel like, can help an athlete recover a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And
you know, I think athletes that, you know, do the bare minimum during the recovery process, I think they keep themselves in that negative mindset.
Absolutely.
Longer.
Yeah.
Than the kids that go, okay, I can do some of this stuff at home that I'm doing with my athletic trainer.
Mm-hmm. Double like, up.
Yeah, double up. Let me actually, more is more in the situation.
You
know, sometimes more is less. But when you're doing PT, you know, and your athletic trainer's saying, hey, you know, if you want to get out of this faster, let's get this quad strength back up. Let's get this hamstring strength back up.
Right.
You know, like, let's get these ankles rolling again. So, I mean, more is more sometimes. And I think that comes down to mindset. Are you willing to endure more pain, more suffering in the recovery process? And I think injuries take a huge toll because athletes are so physical, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, so getting sent back to square one is a terrible feeling, but if you have the right mindset to overcome, I think you can be better than when you first started and before you got injured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that a lot. All right. So talk to me about this season. What are we expecting? What do we think? Are you going to win? You going to go out here and be college coach of the year again? What's your plan?
That's hard to say. The plan is to win as many games as possible.
Mm-hmm.
As you know, the GSC is a daunting league, you know, and trying to predict, you know, where we'll finish or what will happen. I think, you know, I don't want that to backfire on me. You know, we got 15 new faces this fall, which we are really, really excited about.
That's a lot of newbies.
We got a lot of new faces in the locker room, you know, and, you know, hopefully everyone likes each other. That's
right.
First step. Okay.
Right.
But I think, you know, without me making predictions, I think most importantly, our expectations are not going to change.
Mm.
And, you know, we want to compete for championships. You know, we want to be pushing for bids into the NCAA tournament. That's our goal every year.
Right.
And so that does not change. I'm not going to make any bold predictions. I'll leave that to the,
no early manifestation. None of that.
I'm going to let someone else put that in the universe. Okay.
Okay.
But, you know, that's our expectation. We want to compete,
yeah,
for championships. And, you know, I know we got a little taste last year. We lost in the conference final. We got our butts kicked, in the final, you know, worst loss of the season. But I think that's going to be
start the fire
in the,
especially for those returning players
this season. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope it is. I haven't forgot about it, you know, and,
right.
I still got that bad taste in my mouth and I'm extremely motivated to have another successful year and, hopefully Hopefully. I'm knocking on the wood right now.
I see that. Right. Last question that I want to ask you today. What is the most rewarding part of being a coach? We talked a lot about the stress and the pressure, but you're still here. So, you know, you got to like it a little bit.
Man, I love it. I love it.
What is your favorite part?
You know, I mean, I'm never going to get rich doing what I do.
You know, sure?
I mean, I don't do this for the money.
Right.
You know, I do love coaching. I do love working with people. That's one of my favorite parts of my job. But I think seeing the impact that we've made on people as they move on and into the rest of their lives is the most rewarding part of my job.
Yeah.
Seeing people succeed, you know, in life after college is incredible. And knowing that I got to be a part of it, even though, you know, 4 years might seem like a long time when you're in high school, but when you get done, it's like it goes like
by.
That.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously winning championships and winning seasons, they're pretty nice too. I mean, I like that.
Oh yeah.
But
I still look at my ring every
absolutely.
Once in a while.
Absolutely. I try it on every once in a while, make sure it still fits.
Still fits. Time for a new one anyways. Yeah. But
so but no, I like the impact that we make on people's lives and knowing that we're helping the world and these people become better people. So that's what I love about it the most.
Well, thank you, Jake, for hanging out with me, for coaching. You definitely continue to be one of my biggest mentors and someone that I look up to. So it's always a blessing being able to catch up with you. You're not going anywhere. Like, I keep you in my phone. At this point, I need to put one of those little the stars that puts you on my favorites list. It's about to happen. So I'm going to be praying that this upcoming fall season is a super successful one for you guys. And I'm going to be coming and watching. So don't suck, please. Make it enjoyable. And to my people listening, thank you for spending some time with us as we entangled ourselves in the mental world of a college coach. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to share and subscribe so that you can catch us on our next one. As always, our goal is to spread as much awareness on the importance of mental health as it relates to every person. No matter who you are or what you do, there's not a single person that goes unaffected by mental health. And don't forget, you are mentally entangled in every aspect of your life. See you next time.